search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno.
Welcome, BBCers, to episode number 183 of the Broken by Concept podcast, the number one solo queue educational and motivational podcast. Curtis, season 14 is upon us. I wouldn't say we're in the thick of it just yet. Things are stabilizing. People are figuring it out. Where I want to start, Curtis, is what narratives, what sort of things, we're all about dismantling narratives here, Curtis, and just really bringing it back to its essence, what the game's really about. This was the first time that Riot did new season, new like preseason changes in the actual ranked season. It's just all at you at once. Get your shit together. So it was a big reaction from the community in so many different areas. So what were some observations, Curtis, from, let's say, a mid lane perspective? Then I'll talk about jungle, what I found.
Yeah, well, look, I think everything that I'm about to say probably is identical, right, to what you're observing. I think first things first, right off the bat, you know, process out the window for a lot of people, right? Inevitably, new season comes out. Everyone wants to play. Yeah. You figure out the new items, figure out the new terrain, figure out everything. They want to get the reps in, right? Because there was no preseason. So they want to spam. So day one, day two, day three, they're throwing blocks out the window, getting 10 games in, 15 games in, whatever the hell it might be. And then what I've noticed is that for certain people, it follows on to day four, day five, day six, week two,
yeah.
You know? And that's, and then now they've come and say, Curtis, like, I've lost the plot. I'm down a lot of LP. You know, I'm low confidence. I've shit the bed. Help me. What do I do? And then we got to bring it back to just, let's just reboot the goddamn process and start again. Right?
Did you find that this was with clients that have had spam game issues in the past? Because the ones that have that sitting on a negative win rate right now, they've played like 100 games already in the first week or so. It's like this was the relapse.
Mm. But it was an excuse for them.
Yeah, it's the relapse. Yeah, exactly right. Like they were doing good, process they got to master, and now they're like this struggling in like emerald.
Right. I can't really
think of any.
Yeah, think of any off the top of my head. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, but yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head. But yeah, no, that I would say that's, you know, I can't gauge how common, but there's definitely people in my program that have had that experience. I'll say the second one, though, is getting very carried away with items and everything. And look, to be fair, I think all of us were excited about
this new items. It's exciting, new changes.
And you have to build the muscle memory and try to understand your new build path. I think it's inevitable. And there is going to be some sacrifices in terms of where you're focusing on your, you know, in terms of, okay, am I getting better at the game or am I trying to figure out all these items? I understand that. But I think, again, certain people got a little bit carried away, you know, trying all these different builds. And now we're still, you know, what are we, week two or something? And, you know, they've lost the plot. And they're saying, Curtis, you know, I feel like I'm just such a worse player now. I can't win a game. And, you know, inevitably, you just look at him like, you know, what got you to the rank in the first place? You've thrown all that out the window. You know, basic fundamentals, your reference points with your champion, you know, patience with abilities, whatever the hell it might be. That's just gone because your mindset in game has always been new item this, grubs here, I got to do that. You've completely forgotten what got you to the rank in the first place. And I think for those people, they've had a very painful experience. And again, I've had a very similar response. Let's just do what you were doing before. Three blocks, you know, let's focus. What are your reference points? What is your job? Let's bring it back to win conditions, bring it back to matchups. And then start from scratch, essentially. And then rebuild. And we'll go through a rebuild phase. So I would say they're the two most common ones.
I actually saw, this is the big thing as well. There was like a big streamer event. I don't know if you saw it about, it was like the Dante's Challenge or whatever. The race to rank
one. I didn't see it, no.
And this new player, Pentalus, absolutely popped off. And I find, but he was always sort of like a new one trick. And it seemed like some of the actual like one tricks who had insane champ mastery just accelerated at the beginning of the season because they picked up the build like really quick, whatever, and then they just were executing. They already had the champ
mastery. They were just playing the game.
So it was interesting. I found that more so the people that were really good at their champion, also the one tricks, they just accelerated really quickly.
Actually, that's actually a very interesting point because I feel like I made a little bit of a mistake on day one, day two. Because I think what I did, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to play a wide variety of champions to try and like feel all the builds. But I feel like that was not a good idea. I think in hindsight, what I would have done is actually just picked one champ and only picked one champion. And be like, okay, I'm going to figure out the build for one champion and one champion only. And I think that would have given me a bit of a more of a read or a handle on the patch itself, and then slowly branch out and kind of chip away at other champions. And because I felt really overwhelmed. I'm like, all right, I played a game of that. I played a game of this. And I don't really get anything from it. Until you play multiple games, many games of a particular build, you have nothing to compare it with. Because if I play a game of Pantheon and I try this one build, and then I go into Malzahar and I try that build, and then I try Vega and I try that build, well, what am I really learning?
I feel like the big one there is that you're, because once you feel like you've got a bit of an idea with your build because you've only been playing one champion, you're also seeing what's working well against you, like on their items and stuff. I think that's a huge part.
Yeah.
You learn really fast
from
what everyone else is doing on the
opposing. Because builds are actually less about what you do, but how it interacts with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on.
Like, I never built that, you know, that item with the shield, the big magic shield or whatever it is.
Oh, the Kane, whatever, Runal, I don't know what the
fuck. Yeah, and I was playing only Evelynn at that point, right? So I got to sort of see the strength of that item because I was playing a full AP champ, and I was just thinking about that. And then I'll be able to copy-paste that onto my tank champions that I'm sort of playing on my tankier champs.
Right, because you felt what it was like being on the other side of it.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Because your mental stack's now going from, okay, I sort of got my items because I've played only one champ mastery, getting the items down. Then I see what's doing well into me, and then I can implement that other versus... I'm trying this, and I don't even know what's going on the enemy side, and just overwhelm mental stuff.
Yeah.
So this is actually a good point, maybe going into next season, this time next year, maybe that's a technique that you could be doing.
Just play one champ.
And figure out the build for one champ.
And then you actually kill two birds with one stone, because then what actually happens is you have the mental stack to maybe think about the map, figure out the other things a little bit more, and the pace of the game and all these other kind of factors that you probably wouldn't be able to think about if you're thinking about build 24/7. You know, now that we're on this topic, the third one I would say is people jump into conclusions, I think.
Yes.
Really, really, Curtis, really quickly.
Curtis, I'll get this real quick, okay? Void grubs, day one.
That's what I was going to talk about.
If you get six void grubs, as people were saying, you auto win the game. Yeah. A week later, void grubs are like, eh.
Yep.
I've had some people go from one experience to the other. Void grubs are the worst thing in the game. I leave them. They like lose me the game and stuff like that. The outburst, the jump into conclusions, it's extreme. That's the big thing from the season. It's crazy how you can jump to a conclusion in 2-3 days. But people love that. People were saying mid lane's ungankable. Everything's ungankable. You can't gank.
You know what's funny? I literally saw in the one, I think it was basically in my Discord. I was reading the chat. And within the same... like, you know, I guess page, one of the comments was, every game feels so fast, there's skirmishes 24/7, you know, everyone, your void grubs ruined the game, whatever. And then the next, like, I think a few sentences down, my games are going forever. Games are going so good. And I'm like, we live in this world where like everyone is just latching on to their, you know, the I guess their experiences.
Well,
and
the sample size is so small.
Sample size is way too small, right? And, you know, and I think, one of the key learnings that I think want to get across to people is that early on the season, there's so many variables that are into what's the word, like kind of tangled up together.
Intertwined?
Yeah. Because, and specifically what you see is that at the beginning of the season, it's always going to be inherently chaotic because everyone is limit testing. Everyone is trying to find their limits on the new items. Everyone is trying new builds. People are in a way less tryhard and a little bit more... you know, mental sacks are overwhelmed, trying different shit. Like, people are more experimental, right? What does that mean, Nathan? It means games will be inherently maybe a little bit more chaotic. People are going to be less aware to I guess, jungle ganks or whatever the hell it might be. And so that doesn't mean void grubs were inherently pushing the pace of the game. You know what I mean? Like, void grubs, maybe there was a degree of that. But at the same time, we can never actually decisively conclude that because people were probably going to be fighting anyway, even if void grubs weren't there, because it's this beginning of the season and there's new items and everyone's excited.
It's just like a new thing and then extrapolate to the narrative.
Yeah, right. And so that could very well be the case. And it's like, okay, well, that's a hypothesis that I might have and that could be very well true. Let's give it a few weeks and let's see how it's progressing. And then I can maybe jump to a conclusion. Which I found fascinating as well.
League general statements... It was very extreme over the last couple
of
weeks.
But look, I want to be careful here, and because I think it is important for people to have a hypothesis. Yes. I like it.
I think coming up with a hypothesis is great.
Yeah, like it's good to have observations about shit. We're not telling...
Stress testing things.
Yeah, and I don't want people to have the message that we're taking away here is that, you know, you shouldn't have opinions about anything. No, that's fine. It's just that you can't hold on...
Yeah, just relax.
Hold on to your opinions too tightly and be willing to evolve it and change and be wrong.
The word shouldn't be opinions. It should be observations.
Right.
This is my observation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. We're all going to have observations. And what we observe can change.
I was going to say something. What was I going to say? I lost the thought.
And okay, so now we've got across potentially, I guess, what we observed beginning the season from other people. Now, what do you observe?
What do we think? So, all right, so...
What are your experiences?
As a jungler, I think that addition of Void Grubs is just genius. The difference between Void Grubs and Dragon is that Void Grubs, they're slightly easier to take. You can solo them very comfortably, especially with two smites. I mean, I guess same with Dragon as well. But it's now created this decision. You know, in games where it was always very simple with jungles, like if there was like a full clear game, it would always just be, okay, back to second, full clear and down. But now... That second full clear, you have to make a decision. Do I second full clear or do I contest grubs? Do I trade? Do I trade the dragon? I think that's so good now because I think that we'll look back. The whole idea that Herald and Dragon were 3 minutes apart was crazy.
Yeah, because you get Dragon for free.
Yeah. It's either you can contest it or not, and then you're just...
What do you do?
In a dilemma. But now it's like there's trades. If you're a weaker jungler, you can do this. Like a common thing that we'll see, and I was doing in my live coaching in my stream was... We're conceding Void Grubs to trade their Raptors and Krugs. But versus, you would very hard to do that because you didn't have that decision for the enemy jungler was making.
Yeah, no, that's a really good observation. I also, another observation I noticed is that I think it rewards really good supports. I think supports can make more of a difference in the early game as well. Like I've noticed in some of my games that there's a fight of Void Grubs, one support is there and the other one isn't. It is.
Oh, it's game.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you fight out, you will lose that.
It's like now, because it felt like before Rift Herald was the obvious one that, you know, bot lane or support would roam to. Now is another opportunity for supports to be active on the map and potentially have impact.
And again, if the support roams to that, well, then you have a dragon or a dive or kill bot. I've lost a lot of games as well, or I've won games. I have an idea. Okay, I have a Soraka bot lane. They have a Blitzcrank. He's going to go to the grubs, and I'm ready to dive bot. That's my play. I'm clearing down to dive bot, and then A-carries lose their minds. It's really cool.
Really good play, yeah.
It's just like the back and forth. Again, just demonstrating this beauty of League of like chess, back and forth, push-pull. You get this, I get that, and the grubs is a fantastic addition. And I think it's actually mind-boggling that actually Herald was in the game. That was a difference 8 minutes.
And it's interesting kind of thinking back on, you know, what Riot are doing over the years, right? They're trying to find that perfect balance between how do we incentivize people to fight and make decisions and not just be co-op versus AI, junglers stay in the jungle, laners stay in the lane, and, you know, resident sleeper, we come out at 20 minutes and we team fight. There needs to be some element of objectives. There needs to be some incentive for people to do things. And I think they went too far to the point where, you remember Scuttle, you know, Scuttle Crabs before, where you have to, you know, your Scuttles were worth too much.
It's like level 2 fighting over it.
It was too much, right? I think they realized that and they had to, you know, tame that down a little bit. And I think you can tell they're trying to find that middle ground. They're tweaking it. It was really bad where it was like, not, you know, there was nothing really to contest, you know, earlier seasons. And then they've gone to the extreme and I feel like they're finding an interesting middle ground here. And I really like the way that I personally think League is the most fun when there is a lot of skirmishes, when there's a lot of options to do things. League feels really stale when you feel like, oh, this is just the way the game is going to go. It's inevitable. They're going to do that. I can't do anything. There's no counterplay. The more counterplay, the more options, the more you have to think, like you just said, with the Void Grubs, the better it is. So, I love it. I think I've been enjoying it.
That's important not to say because people will hear that and be like, okay, well, you can't play scaling anymore in the game. Remember, guys, and there's all the mechanics, the gold, the shutdowns, the, you know, you could have really good wave kill, good macro to push out waves and delay the game. You know, people still struggle to close out games. So, again, it's still, you can do the whole early game thing, but you can also easily throw the game.
I think they've done a lot for majors as well. I think, like, with scaling and major, I think they've done a lot for... I will say this, one of my observations, that I feel like they've revived a lot of champions that felt shit. Fizz was dead for ages. Fizz came out and actually got revived a little bit. Like, I actually felt bad for Fizz players. Well, Fizz became like the highest, the strongest champion because all the damage that they,
the Storm Surge.
So what they did is they obviously add a lot of damage into the game. And I like that. I think that's really good because it gives champions that were... Okay, well, I'm going to get specific about what my takes are. I think there's more damage, but tank items are also better, right? And to be fair, some of them were probably a bit overtuned. But,
absolutely.
But I think that by having a lot of damage in the game... or more damage available earlier in the game, I think it gave a lot of champions that struggled, like that of Fizz, you know, I guess a breath of fresh air. I think that was quite good. I think some of the new items being less tied to mythics helped a lot of champions that felt awkward to play.
That's what Riot said about the mythic system. The mythic system failed because some champs just didn't have good mythics.
100%. And there's so many champs like that in mid. Now, I'm thinking about it now, you know, for example, Azir never really
You went Nash's first.
You didn't feel good for building. Like, but now it's like, okay, I feel fine.
What did you get? You're Ludens.
I mean, there's so many different builds with Azir. You could go like, there was Crown builds and Neandre's builds and Ludens builds. There's a lot of different builds. But now it's like, you know, you don't feel like you're doing something wrong. You're committing a sin by not going a mythic, you know, rushing a mythic. I would say even champions like Galio sometimes felt a little bit all over the place, but now that they've buffed up some of the tank items, now it almost feels like Galio, you can clearly go either way. You can go hardcore utility or you can go hardcore damage, and you don't feel like, again, you're doing something wrong. I also felt like a lot of champions, like even Swain, there's so much build diversity. And I feel like what they've done, Riot has done a really good job with, is you really have to be intentional with what you build. Like, that's what I've noticed, is that there are not many items that have all those stats. And this is something I made very, I was very vocal about in one of my itemization videos, where, you know, the only item now that I feel like ticks all those boxes is like Cosmic Drive. It has AP, has HP, has haste. And then you have like the movement speed passive. It's like a jack of all trades item. Now there's not many of them. And so now you have to be careful. Do I want raw damage and pen and like burst? Do I want HP? Do I want ability haste? And a lot of builds are lacking ability haste, but I like that because it's like, if I want ability haste, I really have to...
It's a sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice. Yeah. I have to spec into ability haste. And a lot of people are thinking, I can't just, you know, get this one item that gives me absolutely everything. I have to be a little bit more intentional. And it's like, okay, well... And that actually incentivizes the player to play differently as well. Like, there's a lot of champions now where I'm like... They do feel quite weak on one item, but then they definitively spike on two items. And I think that Riot are really encouraging people to be more intentional with their item choices. Specifically from a major's perspective, that's at least what I've noticed. And I really like that.
I've found that I feel like I have to build so many items.
Yeah, there's so many options, right? There's so many things you can do.
I'm like, I'm up to like item three. Like, I finished my third item. Like, wait, I still got another two items to sort of finish this build. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. Like, before, I think, because Mythic ticked off one, and that's a huge part. Like,
and
you
usually
have one.
They get the second item, and it's like, I've got everything I need, right? Yeah. I've got HP, I've got pen.
Now I'm like, two items, I'm like, holy shit, I'm still not strong. I still, how do I finish off this build? It's really important.
And there's so many options to finish off the build. That's the interesting thing.
Like, I think the important part is actually the finishing off the build, I feel like, nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think the third item is key, specifically. Like, I feel like, okay, you can make a pretty big... I guess you can understand your first item and, you know, I guess your second item. The third item, I feel like, really makes a difference. And
defines your identity.
They've done a few really good things with mid lane. Again, like, the fact that Banshees and Zhonyas are genuinely great AP items now, you don't feel like... Before, when you built Banshees and Zhonyas, you've kind of felt like you're losing a lot of damage. You don't feel like that anymore, especially with Zhonyas. Like, you get a lot of AP. And, yeah, it's more expensive. But, like, it's a genuinely good AP item now. So it's like, okay, I don't feel guilty for building this as a third item. I'm not losing a shit ton of damage. And I feel like that's something that AJ said, and I totally agree with. Not a lot of people have actually cottoned onto this yet. That, you know, people are really obsessed with damage right now. But if you just go, like, a Zhonyas or a Banshees as a third item a lot of the time, you're in a really good position. Because, remember, you get the barrier... the spell shield on Verdant Barrier now.
That's right.
Not on the completion of the Banshees, which is absolutely huge.
There are probably things where you just complete that item and keep building something else.
And same as Seekers, right? You get it with that. So my point being is that, like, you know, they've made it feel good to build a lot of items as well. But yeah, the build diversity, The defensive items are great.
I think the removal of stopwatch was smart.
I agree. I think that was really, really
good. Because everyone would just buy a stopwatch mid-game, and it's just like, you just, if you're really far ahead, you just win the game because you got stopwatches in that fight. Yep, but now it's like, that's a big investment to get, you know, Seeker's arm gun or something. 100%.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Well, AD champs can't get stopwatch. They'll have to go GA then, right?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. And you're spot on though. Seekers being not cheap, I think is really key there. Because again, it's an investment. If you and again, that ties into that point. If you want to get the defensive capabilities, you're going to have to spend the resources to get it, which makes sense. I like that. I think, you know, it's really good to encourage that. So yeah, I think itemization was a huge, huge positive. I think they did a really great job with that. But I'll be honest, like, you know, I think circling back, the game hasn't changed. You know, I think the game's the game still. Like, it feels moderately similar pace to me anyway. Yep. I haven't found that the game is like, okay, let me get specific. I don't feel like the addition of grubs is like like this huge thing where you have to contest.
No.
Right? So for me, if I lose grubs, I'm like, eh. I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit annoying, but like, I don't feel like I have to contest grubs. I'm completely fine giving
and
grubs.
Again, that means you've traded something. If the mid lane has gone to help, you've just got a plate.
But also, the thing with grubs, right, specifically, is that it doesn't give you an immediate effect. You have to actually hit towers to get the effect. So, for example, let's say I'm a mid laner or you're a jungler and you know you're not strong enough yet and you haven't hit your spike. And you're like, okay, we just can't contest grubs right now. They're going to get grubs. But then like you actually hit your spike and then you get to a point where like you're exerting threat on them. They can't even utilize, like they're not hitting towers. You know what I mean? Like they're not actually-
It's useless if you're not hitting towers.
It's actually kind of useless. Yeah. Like I actually feel like there's a lot of situations where people go hard for the grubs, but I'm in a commanding position. You're not even hitting my tower. What are you actually getting for it? Like I would actually sometimes rather just- getting farm, getting to my spikes, and like, oh, I'm okay, you can do that. Now, obviously, it incentivizes the people that are snowballing to get it, right? Because they want to continue to push the pace of the game. But like, I like that. Whereas Scuttle Crab felt shit in a way, because it's like, you get an immediate thing. You know, you get XP gold. You know, it's like this upfront, raw, immediately. I immediately have an advantage over you, no matter what you do.
So the first three grubs are like, eh, but then it does sort of put pressure for the next three grubs a little bit. I definitely see that. But yeah, the first three grubs, again, just chill out.
Yeah, just chill out.
And
yeah.
There's a trade that's happened for it. Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or farm. Or just, again,
farm. You've denied a wave, taken something.
Whatever. So yeah, I think it's... I haven't felt that the game is like exploded super fast pace just because of the addition of grubs.
Now, moving on to the Herald now, Curtis.
Okay.
This is where Rats missed the mark for me.
Okay.
Herald, I don't know if people figuring out how to use it properly or whatever. It's super clunky. It's so slow. I just feel like it doesn't have a place in League of Legends, the way that whole charge system works. I like the recharge thing. I think that's cool. But
what do you mean the recharge thing?
So you can, you know how you go and you can do a charge, you can get back into another charge.
Okay.
So I've saw that in competitive stuff, which looks pretty good in competitive. Mm. I think it's actually good in competitive, but in solo queue, it's just not realistic. There's so many times where I'm Herald, I'm like, how do I use this? It just takes a long time to like pop it and then get in it. And then the charge ramp up takes a long time. Like by that time, the enemy team's all defending. Mm. You're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. I know you get knocked out, but you can still easily die.
But I'll be honest. I was like you. I thought that.
Yeah.
But the bounce back, you go pretty far.
You go pretty far. Because like, I've seen some interesting ones.
You go pretty far. I don't know. Like I haven't found that.
You're quite safe. You are right.
When I saw it, I was like, okay, do I go in this thing?
But it's because. The thing that happens with the whole get out thing, your team doesn't know what to do because they're positioning already because they know what you're going to do, right? And it sort of forces you to jump in it. Like, I feel like there's such rare opportunities in a real solo queue game that's actually going to be effectively used. This is just my experience. I've never been like, wow, this Herald was game winning. Not once compared to the Herald
before.
Let's
get specific. So when you're in it, you do more damage to the tower.
Yeah, you do more damage to the tower, but it's not that much.
It's not that much more.
But it's just the slowness. It's just there's no plates anymore. Like by the time you got Herald, plates are off
right,
the map.
Yeah.
Because usually what you'll do with the Herald is that like in the mid game, what really good Herald usage would be is like, you know, you would pop it sometimes like in base or like with a split pusher and then you go somewhere else or something like that. But like even the split pusher themselves, they like get in it. Like let's say if you give it to like a Trinium or something, getting in it sort of slower. You might as well just hit the tower. So it's just the whole mechanic of getting in it is just weird to me.
So what do you suggest? What do you think should be altered on it?
Oh, it's a rough one. Like I think...
more or less strong. Like, so make it... So you have to decide. So
just, I think they just remove the mechanic of just getting it. Just so do it as it was damage, before. Just as it was before, yeah.
It's just like a load up. It hits the tower. Yeah. You know what you're going to get, and that's it.
Because the other thing as well, what you could do with Herald is you pop it. You know everyone's starting to rotate, and you can be a character. You can go pick someone off, rotate into the Herald in the side lane and stuff like that. There's so many creative things you could do with second Herald. Like, I had a whole section in my academy program. But
isn't there creative things you can do with Herald where you can spawn it somewhere and then drive it somewhere else?
But it's so theoretical. It's so theoretical. Like, right. They're all collapsing. They know where you are. Remember, Fog of War is your best friend. Mm. Everyone, it's announced. Everyone sees it. So that's the problem with it. It's slow. It's clunky. It's announced. There's no secret to it.
Right. So what you're saying is that for how
much damage,
for how much of a big investment getting Rift Herald is,
and how tanky it is, and now, how tanky and it gives is, you a debuff to get it, dude.
You're not really getting enough for it, is what you're saying.
Not even close.
Okay. Yeah, I can't really comment. I don't really have much experiences with Rift. It's more of a jungler's thing.
I just feel like it's right set in the office. Like, this is a really cool thing. Like, I feel like I'm not playing League of Legends. I feel like I'm playing, you know, that game where you just like shoot out of the cannon and stuff like that.
Right. So you don't feel, like, it doesn't feel like an intuitive League mechanic. No,
it doesn't seem it's like a place on the Rift.
Okay.
I
can't really weigh in on this one, but would it be interesting to hear what people
think? Interesting to see how it develops.
Let's see what other people think. What do you guys think in the comments?
Yeah.
What are your experiences?
All right, next thing, the map feel, Curtis, all the brushes. So what I noticed the first couple of days is that invading through bot side is terrifying. Your blue buff area. So like the blue buff area. Invading into the enemy blue buff area, there's so many bushes and angles.
Mm.
There's a lot of spots you got to cover now. Is that right? Or
yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, it's...
invades are terrifying.
Look, I will say first thing off the bat, how like daunting it is when you're on a new map. Like, how much muscle memory we have on the whole map. Like, isn't it really weird? Because you're walking into the jungle and you're expecting it to not look like
especially
that.
Going around for dives. I have to, like, train myself. It's like, oh, I can't walk that way
anymore.
Yeah,
me too. I feel like I'm still kind of...
I think I've got after a week.
Especially around that, like, I get that initial blue buff area, but, like, the other area, like, leading to bot lane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. I can't even visualize it still. Yeah. So, I think it will take time for me. But I personally, I really love the feel of the new mid lane, the width of it. I like that. I enjoy that. I think that's really...
in what ways?
I think it...
I'm curious.
I just think it... it just...
what does it feel like? Does it feel like it's a more of a gladiator 1v1? Do you think it's more of a...
I feel safer from junglers. I feel like you're rewarded more for good quality warding and leaning.
Mm.
Like, I felt like before, sometimes you can ward and lean and you just die struggling anyway. Yeah. But now I feel like I genuinely have really good options. I'm going to get rewarded for great positioning in my lane.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say
and
that.
I like that.
Junglers, I feel like, I think that people are right.
Like, you still die, obviously, but like your reward, like, I feel like there's more room for protection, I guess. As a mid laner, that sort of feels.
And I think on the reverse, junglers, you have to have good gank fundamentals. It's got to be, you know, they're going to heavy trade. You know, Fizz is going to go in for that solo kill. It's not just going to be a random kill.
Exactly.
And they're going to misplay.
Because that distance that you have to travel from that bush to the lane, it's significantly wider, right?
And again, I would frame it. Things are very gankable. It just, you get a skill of reading, where it's a volatility place.
Yes, 100%. I have found that the barren terrain area, it is a bit weird, awkward around some of these fights. Like, you know, the one where you have like those two additional walls.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It's a bit of an awkward. It adds a lot of chaos. I feel like it adds a lot of complexity to fights. Like, there's a lot of fog of war, extra fog of war. There's a lot of, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
It feels vulnerable when you go in there.
Yeah, you feel more vulnerable. Yeah, it feels more chaotic.
Especially Baron. Baron's a raid boss now, dude.
Yeah, Baron feels like it does a shit ton of damage.
The tankiness. It's got like 17,000 health. It's huge.
Yeah. So there's like, again, I don't really know how to clearly articulate. I think there's just more chaos, I feel like. I feel like it was a lot cleaner before, tighter, cleaner. Now there's a lot more variables, a lot more additional
things.
You feel
naked.
Yeah, a lot more things can happen. A lot more things can go wrong, I feel like. Mm. But I really, I just love what they've done, especially on like the dragon side. I just love how the fights feel with that additional wall. And like, it almost felt like it feels easier to contest in a way, but I feel like there's more ways to contest. But you also are rewarded for controlling vision well.
Yeah,
so you know that little banana, that little, it's kind of like a, you know, like a, it is like a banana bush around like that wall. So if we're on Botside River, right? And you know, there's that little banana bush that as you walk in from mid, like that bush there, you know what I mean? So, okay, let's say you're on blue side, okay?
Yep.
And you go mid, say you're in the middle of the map, and then you play your path down into the mid bush, right?
So I'm going down to the dragon.
Yeah, going towards the dragon.
Yeah.
And then there's that banana bush that you see, like that's kind of like, there's that piece of terrain and there's a banana
near my red buff.
Near the blue buff. Below the blue, it's like below the blue buff.
Yeah,
that, it's like a little end thing, kind of, around that.
Yeah.
I feel like you get really rewarded for controlling that.
Yes.
Like around fights. Like I feel like if you have that
the new banana bush thing.
Yeah, the new one.
Oh, yeah. So what you do is, especially when you're on the blue side of the map, they're doing void grubs. It's just super, that has to be watered.
Yeah, that has to be watered.
Super easily.
And terrifying. The point I'm trying to make here is that I feel like there is more room to contest dragon, like the way the terrain is, and it's easier to fight. But also, I feel like you do definitely get rewarded for controlling the area. Vision,
yeah.
It just feels better. I don't know how to describe it. It just feels better and more, again, more intuitive, more clean, cleaner. Just feels way cleaner. I definitely am enjoying that for sure. Just clarity. Just clarity of fighting, clarity of vision. I just like it. And I love the blast cone. I love that blast cone that goes over that ridge into the river.
I hate that.
I think that's so good.
It's game changing.
Again, it's game changing. I love those game changing mechanics like that. That one blast cone matters a lot.
Clutch.
And the fact that you can go over that wall with dashes and stuff is just huge.
Mm.
You know, it felt like before when you're contesting dragon, you're fully committed. You know, you're not getting out in a way. But now, again, you don't have to fully commit. You can circle around the sides quite well. I do like that as well. Because again, it shouldn't be super easy to get dragon, you know? So yeah, that's like, I would say my take on terrain, but I don't really have much takes on like the roaming and stuff. I haven't really been playing roaming champs at the moment.
Mm.
What about you? Like diving and stuff, has it been easier or harder? Especially with bot side, right? Cause there's that, you're less committed when you're going for that bot dive, right? Because you have that...
The blue side bot dive, the ledge is gone. I feel it's very easy to do.
Way easier, yeah.
Yes, because you can go through, there's like a bush and stuff. But the tower's still far away. I don't know. I think it's fine. Other than that, dive's a dive. You got to have
the
a big vision wave.
With the bush? You know how there's like that one pixel bush in the middle of the river?
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, in bot. Oh, yeah.
And top. Bot and top, yeah. Right? What have you felt there?
Ooh, yeah, that was a really weird one, wasn't it?
Because if the laner controls that with a control ward, they just have complete vision, you know, like, especially on top side.
Yeah, we can always lane gank. Yeah, it's a pain. If that's control warded, you have very little options.
Again,
I feel it's very easy for them to go contesting. I don't feel like it's going to be control warded much.
But in a way, I will say this, that it almost feels like, you know, just speaking out loud, that as a jungler, you're rewarded for good ganks, but you also, I feel like, again, you get punished probably more for bad ganks across the board. Like, I think
shown on the map, yeah. Especially with void grubs and stuff, you show on the map, you get punished for
it. But also just the way the vision, like, again, like, it's, yeah, I feel like you just get punished more. Anyway, anything else?
I think that's it. Map changes, Herald, void grubs, we talked about Baron briefly, items. Yeah, I think that's it for season 14 so far.
Thank you to today's sponsor, Mid.gg. Now, this is an amazing platform for those of you who are looking to find VODs on your given champion or the champion that you main. Now, I actually am close with the developer, Jake. He actually asked me a year or two ago, he said, Curtis, what sort of platform are you looking for when it comes to, you know, improving at your solo queue? What would you like if you could create any platform that you would want? And I said, well, ideally, I'd be able to find high-level VODs, POV VODs, because that's something that for all of us is really quite hard. If you type on in YouTube, I want to look at a Challenger Ahri VOD, you know, 9 times out of 10, you get some crappy Domi Sun replay.
6 months old.
Maybe not even POV. And it's a bit of a pain in the ass, to be honest. So basically what Jake has put together with mid.gg is this amazing platform where it basically takes all the effort out of finding VODs. So you can actually, if I say I want to find Fizz VODs, POV Fizz VODs, I can click on Fizz here in the Champions tab, and it will automatically sort, you know, all of the recent Fizz games played on stream from famous streamers. So even here, look at this, 7 hours ago, Nemesis played a Fizz game, so I can just click on this, and it's going to take me directly to the timestamp. Look at that, instantaneously, boom, we're watching Nemesis play POV on his stream.
From the level one.
From the level one, beautiful timestamp ready to go. We can also check out his build here if we want to, and his build path, etc., etc. Now, the other, one of my personal favorite parts of this platform is that you can actually search matchups. So let's say I want to learn how to play Ahri. I want to see people playing Ahri versus Akali, right? It's the first one that pops up. It will automatically sort by all of the Ahri and Akali VODs. So Legit Korea here, streamed it a week ago, played this matchup. I can click on it, boom. It'll take me to his stream. Look at that. I'm watching Ahri versus Akali instantaneously, just like that, at the click of a button.
Extremely easy.
And the great thing about this, guys, is that if there's any extra functionality that you would like added into this platform, please let us know in the description below. Jake's a really nice guy. He's really hands-on, and whatever you guys feel like you need to make the platform even better, let us know, and he'll be probably happy to accommodate for that. So the link will be in the description. Please check it out. Last reminder, guys, this is not just for mid. This is for every champion, every role. It doesn't matter if you're a jungler, top laner, AD carry, support. Please check it out, guys.
This will lead into our next topic. What I actually forgot to say, what I was going to say way back at the beginning, in terms of blocking off all the narratives and all jumping to conclusions and all that sort of stuff, champ mastery is still king. I feel like what you need to do is you need to build like a defense mechanism around you, like the community narratives, and just bring it back to reference points, strong, playing around item spikes, what a good fight, what a bad fight. This stuff just doesn't change in the game. You know, the champions are all the same. There's buffs here and there. You know, obviously some champs are stronger and weaker with items, but champ mastery is always king. So moving on to our next topic, Curtis, you came out with a video today or when this podcast comes out a couple of days about champ mastery, what people misunderstand about champ mastery. And I was looking at the comments because, you know, we're always getting involved with the community. I want to see what people's reaction to it. And, well, firstly, we'll break down a little bit, just a quick TLDR for people that didn't watch the video, but definitely recommend watching it. You've broken down champ mastery into four categories. You got beginner, intermediate, experience, and then craftsman. So the four different categories, and people think that, I mean, do you want to quickly summarize?
It's a rough model, obviously. I mean, it's a lot more nuanced than that, but basically beginner, you know, you just basically under theory, you have no feel for the champ, you understand the basics of the champ, but you have no feel. The intermediate one is more, you know, your baseline feel. And like what I said is that the way, if you're in that category, you will win the easy games. Like you could pick that champ in a very easy game. It's like picking Malphite into full AD.
Yep.
You know what the champ does. You have baseline feel. You know, you can probably use the abilities, but you're not going to win the hard games ever. You're probably going to even struggle in the average games, but that's basically it. And then when you're experienced, that's when like you have the muscle memory. You understand the reference points, the identity. And getting to that point is even hard, I would say, for a lot of people. It's really hard getting to that. But that's when you actually can play League of Legends. Like you're thinking, you have the muscle memory to think about the game holistically. You understand what the champ wants to do, why it wants to do it. You have the muscle memory. And then Craftsman is kind of like taking that to the extreme. That's when like you are one with the champion. That's when, you know, you're really pushing the champion to its absolute limits. Like you're not even, you're doing things that other people just wouldn't do. Like I feel like with experience in the third tier, you're doing what everyone would expect you to do well. But when you're in the craftsman tier, you're like doing things so differently. You're like unlocking the champion, the things that people didn't even know about the champ. And like,
so you're talking about more mechanical stuff or
both? Like, wow, I didn't know that champ could even had that identity. I didn't even know. Like,
You could beat someone in lane phase that you should never beat or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I've seen that level of not to that. Because again, Craftsman, I feel like the way I'm interpreting it is like the hardcore OTPs, right? That's like the Erel King, the PC Zhang, whatever. But there are people that I feel like scratch that surface, even OTPs that I've seen. And I'm like, wow, they actually changed my view of the champ's identity. Like in the early lane, it's like, fuck, like there's that ASOL guy in NA who changed my view on the champ. And I'm like, fuck, this guy, he was playing really aggressive, or, you know, Odysseus and stuff. They change, like they alter the way you actually view the champion. So, like, I think it's a lot more nuanced than that, but I think that's a general framework of kind of, you know, the way to view it, I guess.
Yeah, when I think about craftsmen, it's like, you know exactly what to do at every single, like, point in the game. Like, you know exactly, like, how your champ interacts with every other champ.
Yep.
You know how the fights are going to play. You know
you're never confused about win conditions. You are like 110. You know your role every time.
Yeah, you can switch dynamically. You're rolling fights in a snap second. You know,
and you're doing tiny things though. You're like doing tiny things.
I'm going from engage to peel really quick because the play is done, or like I'm using my ability in this way, holding abilities, using abilities quickly. That's the way I think about the crafting as well.
It's taking all of your ability uses to the next level, 100%. Because the way you could view it, like an experienced player, you know, they may not be doing anything super crazy, like
executing their job.
Yeah, and like doing their job, but they're not. They're, again, there's way another level, you know, that you can get to. That's
and yeah. So I think the word I'm looking for when I describe it is like the adaptation.
Yeah, yeah. They have the adaptation down pat. I mean, again, they're not even really having to think about anything as well. It's like they 100% understand.
Of course, you can't think. Yeah, thinking is, it goes into the earlier stages, like, yeah, you know, that's because League is a game where you have to not be able to think.
And a lot of these players, like, I feel like a craftsman as well, they can do it, but they could probably also articulate as well why. Like, they understand this so well that they could tell you specifically why they did every single thing as well. Like, That's that next level as well. Like, they will do things intuitively, but understand the champ so well, they could articulate it. Like, they're not doing it randomly, you know? Everything is done kind of with intention. Every little decision, every ability usage, everything is done to the T with intention.
And it just makes perfect sense.
Everything makes sense.
Yeah. So on that video, I read one of the comments and someone was saying, does the craftsman exist for simpler champs like Malphite or Malzahar? And my first thought was absolutely. The craftsman level of those sort of simple champs, like, because you're obviously thinking about the Yasuo and the Aurelkin and stuff like that. You know, it's very easy to sort of see a craftsman, those champs.
Yeah, it's easier to see it.
I think it's hard to see it on the simpler champs, because simpler champs, they are, to execute, especially in high elo, it's hard because your champion's quite disadvantaged in a way. So, like, let's say if I think about like a Malzahar or a Malphite.
Telegraphed.
Like, yeah, like, your next level is... I played Rammus recently, so I've been working on Rammus Guard or whatever like that for my Below Platinum program. And I would view so many things of, like, the way you use Taunt, when you go in with QR. These are, like, the craftsman aspects. Like, for example, I was... the normal thing that a Rammus player would always do, people think is just easy. You just Q in, and then you E. There was a Renekton top lane who was really fed out of control. What I did was, like, I went up, you know, Q knocked him up. But what I did, because I knew that he wasn't going to go on me, I was holding my E to see when he was going to look to just E onto my carry. So I wasn't doing it until he literally pressed that button. I was, like, timing that perfectly, because a lot of people just go in Q and then E. But there's that level of, like, thinking about exactly how Renekton is going to play and how my ability is going to interact with him. Even for those, you know, these type of simple champs, I think there is so much depth to every champion. And especially, you know, the obvious one is, like, winning those hard games where it's like, this game should just be completely unwinnable. Let's say you play Malzahar against, like, a massive threat team. Like, you're against, like, a Pyke bot. You're against Assassin mid. You're against, like, a Jarvan jungle. But learning your defense, your short windows, that's the craftsman of that champion. It's not actually the ability usage, I think. Ability usage sort of ties in the decision-making, I feel like, a little bit, though, still.
Yeah, and I think I replied to one of those comments. I don't know if it was that one, but I said, you know, how I... You know, there was people would think Cho'Gath is a simple champion. There's a Cho'Gath OTP in my program who, you know, he makes the champ, you know, looking, you know, like a different champion. Mm. And he's incredibly, he knows the limits and he can do all this crazy shit that you wouldn't think. I said Annie, right? Annie is a super complicated champion. My quote with Annie is, she's as complicated as you want her to be. She has an incredibly high skill cap, but it's not obvious. Again, it's little things. It's the way you use her auto attacks. She has one of the highest auto attack ranges in the game, right? And the way you use that can be absolutely game changing. So, and the way you just stun, just Annie's stun.
There's so much that goes into
that. You
know,
there's so much that goes into that.
Like, I played a game against you. Played Annie, and the amount of threat you were imposing, and, like, it was insane just by holding it.
Yeah, and then, like, think about that.
And the fog of war and the...
And that, I'm not even scratching the surface comparatively to what that Annie guy in EU is at, you know? Mm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you felt me playing Annie and, like, you would immediately feel the difference in the intention and the mastery, but then there's, like, a way higher levels than that. Yeah. You can't even comprehend, you know? That's even with a simple champion. So I just think that, yeah, you're absolutely spot on. But how funny is it that that is even a question, though? I find that's what I find interesting, is the fact, how funny is it that they think that, like, you know, there isn't, that it's a thought that just because the champion has a simple kit, that there isn't even a level of craftsman. Like, you just cap out at experience. I thought that's really, really interesting. And again, I think that ties into, like, you know, I guess, yeah, not really.
It's just surface level thinking about the game. Again, going back to, we talk a lot, there's more to the game than just the smashing heads together. Yeah. It's the fog of war, the thinking about what they're going to do, what are their strengths, what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, just knowing everything about
it. And that's just one of the hardest things to get across. And that's what I want
to... Super hard to see, because this is all invisible stuff.
It's all invisible stuff. Yeah. And the quote I said is that you just don't know what you don't know. It's hard to see over the horizon. Like, and that's why I said, you got to get inspired. I keep saying that. You got to look at other people playing the champ sometimes just to get inspired about what's capable with ability usage, especially ability usage. But, yeah, no, you're spot on. I actually had a little topic that I think flows on beautifully with what we've spoken about today. I got to set this video, and it was a video about, like, how to excel at math and science, but it was based off this book. And there was kind of two things that I wanted to talk about. So the first one was this idea, or this I guess a model, or I call it a model. Kind of called diffuse. You're either in diffuse mode or focus mode. And basically the way they viewed it is that when you're studying, right, you either really focus on something, like you're intently trying to, like, solve a problem, or, like, you're kind of passively kind of solving a problem by, you're not actively engaging with the problem, but you're just letting it, as you say, letting it gestate in the back of your mind. And there's all these, you know, great historical examples of, like, famous mathematicians who they've, you know, taken a nap, or they've gone on a vacation or whatever, and then
so the shower thought type
shower
stuff,
thoughts yeah. Right, and there's things that we that's an example of thing, an activity that we can do that gets us into that diffuse mode thinking.
So you're not actually trying to sit down and do the problem. I see. It's just like you're just like, it's like bouncing around your head a little bit. You're thinking about it,
kind of,
but you're not trying to
solve it. You're letting
and then an idea comes that solves it.
You're letting your intuition kind of just piece together things. And in regards to math and science, apparently that's really important, especially when you're studying things. Like, and what they said, though, you won't actually reap the rewards of diffuse level, diffuse mode thinking, unless you really understand the topic well, though. Like, you have to actually understand the fundamentals of whatever that topic is. So, you know, you're not going to solve some super complex equation that you have no idea about. Like, you don't even have a remote inkling. Like, you have to understand the basics, or at least the fundamentals of that specific problem. And I feel like, you know, in league, you know, this is kind of what we talk about, three blocks as well. It's like, you might have an idea of what went wrong in your block, right? And you may have it, like, you come out of the review and you're like, okay, that was it. But then you're having a shower and you're like, yeah, I think my entire approach was wrong. I've had that thought many a time where I'm like, yeah, I was just, I'm fucking delusional. Like, that was not my problem whatsoever. I've actually got stage four problems, or my reference points are completely off. Like, I was thinking about the way I'm fighting, but I'm not even thinking bigger. I need to be thinking bigger picture about my reference points are completely shot, you know, or lack of diffuse thinking, where I'm thinking too in that focus mode and I haven't actually allowed my intuition to piece together.
It's like the question, like, maybe I'm actually using this ability wrong the whole time. Like, I'm trying to problem solve this fight, but, like, I have a whole misconception about how to use my ultimate.
That ties into my second point. So there's something called the Einstellung effect. I'm probably butchering that one, but Einstellung effect. And essentially what this is that there's this effect where, like, you know, you have this proposed solution for an idea. Well, let's say, for example, you're a jungler in a game, and, you know, you're like, I have to gank this lane. It's a snowball and I have to gank this lane. And you've already come into that game with this idea that this is the solution to this specific game. And then what happens is that a situation arises where that's not the best solution, right? That potentially was in another scenario, but it's not. But you're so... You're only looking at that problem through that one specific lens. So you're not even remotely open to the idea that there are other solutions available, right? And that's the effect. That's what that is.
Very common example.
And that's so common. And the way he tied it to math, so I think while we're on that topic, was, you know, I've had this before in school, right? Where like you're doing a question, you're in an exam, you're doing a question, and you're like, I know that one. And then like, and then they weave in a different question that you're meant to use a different formula for. And then, but you're still trying to apply that old formula to that question.
Oh, it's just not working.
Because that's the mindset you're in. We're doing like, say we're doing the, he was saying like the quadratic, you're doing like, say, four questions in a row with the quadratic formula. And then there's another one, they throw it in, it's a completely different thing. But you're in the mode of using the quadratic formula. You're trying to apply the quadratic formula to this, but it's not working because you're in that frame of mind. And again, I think this is so common for League where you're like, oh, I'm dying to ganks. And like, you think it's like warding, but it's not. The solution is something completely different. It could be your wave stage, you're approaching lane wrong. You're
being gankable by being 40% HP all the time.
You missed the reset, you're saying too low. Yeah. You're heavy trading in lane that you shouldn't be. Like, that's happened to me so many times. Where I've actually had to take a step back and I haven't actually been able to see the solution at all until Tim or you or AJ or someone comes in and say, Curtis, you're actually doing this completely fucking wrong. Mm. And obviously, you know, someone objectively telling me that, it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
It's
something.
So hard.
And that's the and point it's invisible. But that's the point of the diffuse and focus thing. You do need to sometimes, and that's what we talk about, I think, the end of week reflection, having periods of time in your day where you're not actually super just hardcore VOD reviewing, or, you know, you can't latch on to one idea. You got to sometimes let your brain just, like you say, gestate, and I'll think about it. Let it simmer there, and you know, I'll come back to that later. It's okay to come back to it later. It's okay to sometimes say, oh, okay, yeah, maybe this wasn't the right solution, and come back to it later. So, but I think there's two applications, like an in-game thing and an outer game. But for the outer game, I think it's the most relevant, I would say. I thought that was really fascinating.
Very interesting.
Applying in another domain, you know.
Explains a lot.
Explains a lot.
It does explain a lot. I love my shower thoughts.
Yeah. Me too, actually. Me too.
Moving on.
Get some Curtis' clips. All right, let's get into the details, guys.
All right, so we're not doing Curtis' clip corner here. We're back here to Summoner School. We always said last week we're meant to go back to regular programming, but
I tried to steal the show for a second.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're rusty. It's the new year.
Yep.
All right, we're rusty. All right, this post here from actually League of Legends, main Reddit.
Okay.
So we're in the big leagues here, not the Summoner School. Even though Summoner School's still, you know, it's big leagues, but this is the big leagues. All right. The title of this post is, I feel like people don't care about macro anymore.
This is already going to be good. I haven't read this. This title, it's already going to be good.
1,600 upvotes, 600 comments. So people are typing away. They're hitting the keyboard. Everyone's going to have their opinion on this.
Yeah.
All right. So it starts off saying, Inhib down, Nasus has TP. It's time for objectives. Gee, I wonder what he is going to do. Our top laner can 1v1 Nasus because he's ahead, so I typed Nasus will backdoor, and nothing. Next game, I decided that maybe I need to pick something that can deal with split pushes, so I did. I got ahead, and it was time for Baron fight. We won the fight, so we are doing Baron. Just then, enemy Sion respawned. He has TP. The minions are coming up to our inhibitor. Gee, I wonder what Sion is going to do. So I got off the Baron and backed, but my entire team also got off the Baron just to chase this Sion when I can deal with Sion myself. The four of them can totally finish Baron, but nope, got to follow the most fed person everywhere. Are we just not going to macro and then complain about the state of split pushing on Reddit? You might think I'm talking about iron players, but I'm talking about plat and emerald players. Sure, micro can get you to emerald, but what's the fun in playing without your brain?
Okay. Did you want to riff on this first and then check out the comments?
Or do you want to get comments first? Let's do riff on this. Well, our opinion first. When we get influenced by the comments.
Okay. What are your first thoughts, Nathan?
My first thoughts is, all right, so let's, look, this is my first thought. And this is just Coach Nathan and people like, oh, Nathan's saying it again. Okay, well, there is probably 10 Ender reviews before that point. That sounds really elitist and people might get upset about it. Yes, we can definitely get into the details and figure out this situation. But don't forget that there is plenty of learnings. I'm not winning and losing games. I mean, okay, I am winning and losing games sometimes from bad macro from my teammates and stuff like that, sure. Or even from myself. But most of the time, you can get a lead, you can snowball. That's a great place to put your effort, energy in terms of gaining LP in League of Legends. That's our philosophy. That's why we have the end of review process. So that's my first thought. Second thought is, for the majority of the player base, even Master, even Grandmaster, you can understand this psychological principle for League of Legends players. Killing people is fun. Playing waves in the mid game, setting up objectives, vision control. It just the reality is that it's hard to do. You have to, again, use your brain. You can use this to your advantage. That's what a lot of people forget about, is that the enemy team playing for kills, you actually win a lot of games from that as well. So it is a back and forth. I think that when people saying, like, I feel like don't care about macro anymore, that's always just been the case. You're just had a couple of rough games here and it sort of sucks for you. What do you think, Curtis?
Well, I will say, like, these situations aren't overly obvious. Like what I mean by this is that, again, when you're in the mid to late game, everyone's mental sack is overwhelmed. You know, there's so much going on, you know, and they might be thinking, like, okay, let's take the first example. You're saying, oh, Nasus was going to backdoor. Maybe everyone else on the team was thinking, I can't deal with the Nasus. I can't go. Or maybe they were thinking, oh, I'll let the other person go. And then I need to stay here because I got really good bush control. And maybe I can look for a pick. Who knows what they were thinking? You know, it's easy. The easy, convenient thing is to assume that no one was thinking. But I actually don't think that's the case. I think I give people the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of the time people just are genuinely confused. Like when people make poor decisions, yeah, sure, there are times where they are not thinking, and that definitely is the case. But I would say that a fair amount of the time, they're also equally confused and genuinely just don't know how to respond to that situation. So yeah, I think that you got to also remember, like, you're not in a lot of these mid to late game kind of macro scenarios, and a lot of the time they're different, you know, like, how many times are you in a scenario where, okay, let's say you play 20 games, or let's say you play 50 games. How many of them are you in where Nasus is genuinely threatening a backdoor on your base?
You can probably count it.
And how many scenarios are you in where maybe, like, you need to respond to it? Or I don't know. I just, what I'm saying is that, like,
it's also in terms of the strengths of the champion. Like, if Nasus has gotten to that point split pushing, he's probably have a high percent chance of winning that game. Probably. It's very hard to do.
Maybe they've already checked out. I mean, there's so many reasons. Like, it's so easy or convenient to say that people don't think about macro, you know? Like, I just, again, I think that may be the point, and that may be the case. And, you know, I think he has a point there. But I think there's a lot of buts, right? The mental boom aspects, maybe they've checked out. Maybe they don't know how to handle that situation. They haven't been in the situation that often. Maybe they didn't feel like they could handle it. Like, yeah, sure, they may seem obvious in hindsight when you're sitting there after the game. All you guys got to do is all base stick on the Baron and I base and no one else base. And, you know, that's really hard in a game where you've got barely any communication. I don't think that's very intuitive for a lot of people. Now, I will say, I think he has a really good point on the second half of this post, though, which is, you know, people complain about the state of split pushing and stuff when they don't really try to problem solve how they could be dealing with split pushes. I totally agree with that. I do think he has a point there. But, you know, I think that there's a lot more important things than mid to late game macro.
Yeah, and you know, especially when it's talking about Platinum Emerald players. Yeah. Like, it's not really...
No.
It's going to be frustrating losing those, and you might have the right idea. Maybe you... But, again, there's so much more that's going into getting
your games. Mid to late game macro is a 0.05 percenter when it comes to what's getting you results in solo queue.
Absolutely.
That's yep. it.
Straight out.
Zero. Packed. I'm talking that small. That small. That situation is that insignificant in your games. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But it's true. There is so many other things that you could have done that would prevent that situation. So therefore, the reason that's important is not to discredit his opinion. It's more so to add color as to why all of these people in this ELO bracket may not be knowledgeable in this situation, because their focus is probably on so many other things. No one in my program would even give a shit. If they're in my program, they wouldn't even be remotely looking at that. They would have already been thinking, right, but yeah, I messed up the game at 12 minutes because I didn't do X, Y, Z, or 8 minutes, review whatever. Process. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't even be worrying about that situation. So they may not be good at that scenario. So, like, nowadays, especially with all the content, people don't talk a lot about mid to late game macro. Think about that. Think about what, because no one gives a shit. So I think there's that as well.
Yep.
Move on to the comments.
All right, let's have a look.
Well, look at the top comment.
Well, this had more upvotes than the actual post itself. There are a surprising number of people playing this game who don't know what the win condition of the game is, besides keep fighting them until they surrender, like it's a death match. The thing is, it works for them up to a certain point, and since it worked for them to get to said point and then suddenly doesn't, their mindset quickly becomes, I win with this a lot so far, so I'm clearly doing everything right. It must be my team's fault.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would agree that there is a lot of people that don't really know how to play to a win condition, but there's also, you know...
But that's like ingrained with the rank. Like,
yeah.
You know, you'll learn that as you sort of go up, and that, you know, that sort of stuff, if you know that, you've probably...
If you're at the point of your journey...
Like it's like you know, sort of saying, like, if I'm a player, I know my win condition... I should be like a really high rank.
So what? Yeah, what are
it's like? It's like forgetting the execution. And like, there's so many other really important. No,
but
things.
I think this doesn't really make sense because it's like there is a surprising number of people playing this game who don't know what the win condition is. No shit, because that's the way the rank system works. If everyone knew what the win condition was, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? There would be no low elo. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone would be the same. Like, if you're at the point in your journey, right, where you're actually thinking, like, in depth about...
You have the luxury to think about the win condition.
You have the luxury to think about the win condition. You're a pretty goddamn good League of Legends player. You're already at least Emerald, right? At minimum, probably. Mm. Like, most people below Emerald are not thinking about win conditions.
You're just learning how to play your
champion.
Learning
how to play their champion. Yeah. Like, when you're thinking about win conditions, that's more now when you're thinking, outside, you've developed champ mastery, you know your matchups, you're good in your early game, whatever. You can actually have the luxury to think about the game holistically. So... Yeah, there will always be the majority of the player base will have no clue about the win condition because that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Those people either don't care about the game or they're less experienced or they're more casual, whatever. You know, like, there's not like some grand conspiracy going on here. That's just the way it is. So I don't, yeah, like, what's the expectation here? Like, what do these people want?
I love this next comment saying... even on low elo, I always try to push mid before going for elder, especially with inhib open or down. Just last week, I won a match because we got 5v4 win and mid was pushing an elder that I pushed earlier.
Yeah, great. But look, he learned some macro tidbits. I'm like, that's great. That like, will help, sure, right? Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying, we're not here to say that these macro things are not useful. Like, they're useful, but there are, why are we in a, you know, we're talking about an elder fight. You know what I mean? Like fuck me.
There's like 50 ender reviews. Before
there's a lot of things.
There's lots of learning. Yeah.
There's a lot going on before elder.
But that's the tricky part about League. People don't know where to put their focus and energy. That's our job as the podcast in our program.
And mid to late game macro is sexy, right? Because it's the last thing you remember.
Exactly right, yeah.
Before your Nexus explodes, it's like, ah, fuck, I should have shoved that wave. Or fuck, I should have been to that dragon fight or Baron or elder fight or whatever. You know, it's last thing you think about, and you go straight onto Reddit like this guy and type up your life story about what happened in these two games.
That right there is how we end it. That's exactly why. To sort of answer this question, I feel like people don't care about macro anymore. It's like completely reverse it. The reason why you only think about macro is important here is because it's the last thing you remember in your games.
Yeah.
It's the easier thing to point to. It's the lazy thing to point to, really.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. All right, so now we'll get to Curtis's Clip Corner. And welcome everyone to Curtis's Clip Corner. So getting into the details here, if you're in the MLA, you would have already seen this before as a daily tidbit, but I thought this was very relevant to all the listeners out there for other roles, especially you. I would love to hear the jungler's perspective.
As a jungler.
So essentially, there's a 26, 27 minute dragon fight here, right?
And we're looking from the Zoe's perspective.
Zoe is on the back of the pit
here. Okay.
Now, I have a principle that I like to follow around objective fights, okay? Mm. Unless the objective is incredibly important, we're talking like Infernal Soul, maybe Hextech Soul, Elder Dragon, that sort of thing. Honestly, 9 times out of 10, you should just be playing for the fight, not the objective.
Love that principle.
And this is what I follow. And I see this mistake very often, to the point where, again, I need to make an example out of it. I did it as a daily tidbit. And this was an example where the Zoe had the completely wrong mindset. The Zoe is so concerned about preventing Kindred from getting this dragon that he's just completely screwed.
He's like leashing the dragon.
He's just leashing the dragon. And inevitably, I think he does maybe kill. I think he just does kill. But I'm like, how much work you could have done if you were just playing for the fight instead of the dragon? And let's just go back here. Just look at, just take, get specific. Right, the Senna is moving in from the top side. The Tristana, I think it's a Tristana and Ivan moving in from the top side. What I said is, let Kindred do the dragon. If Kindred's hitting the dragon the entire time, who gives a shit? You're going to win the fight anyway.
It's a 4v5.
And look at our position now. We've used all our damage from the back end. The fight's going on. We could have been peeling our Tristana front to back, bubbling that that Akali, and the fight, you would have just won the fight. It would have been a one fight. And then, yeah, sure, you might lose the dragon, but what's better, acing them, you know, or getting the dragon? 100% acing them. And this is not just relevant for dragons. I see this specifically around Barons. If the enemy team is doing Baron, right, and they're in the pit, Riot are geniuses. They design the games in a way such that if you're doing the Baron, they're committed. They've compromised their position a lot of the time. So if they're on the Baron, play for the fight instead, ace them, and or let's say one survives. Who gives a shit? Would you rather get four kills and they live with one Baron, or then, or you maybe flip a Baron and then they kill you? You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
So I think this is a really important principle. Yeah. So what do you think?
What I love about League is that you could show me that VOD, never have a conversation with this person. I can tell that their intention purely by their camera movement, yep, what they're doing.
100%.
That's such an awesome thing to
you already know exactly what this guy's mindset is.
He's worried about the dragon. He's worried about the dragon and stuff.
It's all he's caring about.
But yeah, typically, you know, I always think about the game in terms of gold values. You know, like if you kill, let's say the enemy teams were Baron, they most likely have a couple of shutdowns on their carries. Yep. You're probably, if you ace them, that's about 2,500 gold plus the experience. Plus, you can take their camps, take waves.
Tempo.
You can gain a swing on just losing a Baron could be 3,000-4,000 gold. Swing.
100%. So I think this is like a good general principle that people can follow. Obviously, leagues are game specifics. You know, you got to take that into account. But I want to say 9 times out of 10, play for the goddamn fight.
Even the screw jungler. This is the key thing with the jungler. The jungler should be in the mindset of playing for the fight, yeah, sometimes. Just 100%. Don't play for the smite steal. Because when you play for the smite steal, you're about like, well, why not play for the smite steal? You change your positioning. You change the way you think about the fight versus, like, let's say if I'm trying to go into the pit, trying to kill the Kindred, maybe I can be picking off the carry there and then I can go kill the Kindred. Yep. So I would say even as a jungler, more often than not, playing for the fight's great.
Even here, I actually think the Ivan sent in his R on the Kindred. Well, look, maybe that's not that bad because maybe annoying the Kindred, but an argument could be made. Well, what else could we be doing with the Ivan R here? You know, could you be annoying one of the key carries in one of the team fights or something? I don't know. I'm not an Ivan player, but you know, I see exactly what you mean. You know, play for the goddamn fight.
Love it. And that's a tool you can use in reviews around an objective. Was my mindset to play for the dragon or the steel or the
fight? That's right.
I think that probably you see that scenario more so with junglers, I think, than mid laners. You think that mid laners do?
I literally had this twice in one day.
Really? So mid laners are worried about losing the dragon.
And rifts. Really? Same thing. I had one. I used a daily tidbit. I did two clips. One was this one, the dragon. The other one was a rift herald. People get obsessed about. People are obsessed about neutral objectives, man. I'm telling you.
They do. Everyone loses their minds over them. Because I think that. Because people correlate losing an objective to losing the game, right?
Yep.
Versus thinking about golden killing people. All right, mailbag time.
Yep.
Away we go.
Welcome back for Nathan's mailbag. Jingle, jingle, jingle song.
All righty then. Our first question here comes from Kobe. The title of this email is just Friends. Dear Nathan and Curtis, I recently joined the MLS, the mid lane school, after finding the podcast by looking up League of Legends podcast to listen to at work. Well, that's awesome to know that when you type that up, our podcast comes up.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's quite simple for search. I didn't expect to have my view of the game transformed. I recently hit Gold 4 after only reaching Bronze and Silver once in almost 4 years I've been playing League. I want to hit high elo, specifically diamond, for one purpose only. I have a friend who got really high ranked, emerald, by spamming games and abusing broken champs, as he puts it. I was telling my Discord that I hit gold 4 and he actually laughed at me. He didn't mean it in a bad way, just his view is so different. Since he basically got to emerald by playing a ton of games and being toxic and having a 1v9 mentality, he thinks it's funny that I'm trying to have actually an approach and become a good player through a process. I'm hoping that by reaching diamond and elo, one of us in my friend group have gotten to, maybe he and my other friends will listen to me or at least respect what I have to say. Do you think there is any chance that this could work? Regardless, I've always enjoyed the game and you guys showed me that I can enjoy the game and focus on improvement and without self-loathing and unreal expectations holding me back, I can reach new heights. I just want my friends to see the game in a similar way as me or to at least respect it and maybe enjoy it again because none of my friends play League anymore. Do you think there is any chance that this could work, Curtis. Listen and respect him. What do we think?
I don't think so.
No, it's done. It's done.
You know what? In our experience, you know, when you're in this when these people are in this mindset, you know, the change has to come from them. You know, and if they're not actively looking to change, or they're not ready to change, no matter what you achieve, there's going to be another insult, another narrative that crops up, right? Let's say you get Diamond. When you get Diamond, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, well, that's what you get for paying for coaching, or, you know, they'll discredit your achievement in some way, shape, or form. Or let's say you keep climbing past Diamond, you get to Master. Oh, yeah, that's what happens when you use your brain or something.
Or you one trick the champ. I played all these champs.
Yeah. You played that champ. Or insert any excuse or reason. You know what I mean? Like, you can't reason with a lot of these people, unfortunately.
Well, because think about what's happened, Curtis. Their journey. They've built habits, views of the game, narratives over years, thousands of games. Yeah. It's just like a habit with anything, or, you know, like, it's hard to break.
But it's comfortable for them to have their belief system. You know, once their belief system is in place, it's very, very hard for it to actually change, unless it gets like shaken to its core from something that they experience. You know what I mean? Like, if that person, for example, had to, you know, improve at league for whatever reason, you know, of course that would be very different. But these people, you know, they just don't. They don't care. They really just don't care about the game. And that's just the reality. I think it's a cool bit of motivation, though. Like, I think, you know, go for it. Have a crack. Chances are, though, you're just going to get faced with some other bullshit, unfortunately.
Your introduction to League and the way you learn League is really important for how your journey is sort of going to go. I mean, how many people join our programs, Curtis, and we have to unravel all the years they watch the toxic streamers or their view? It takes a long time. Those clients are my problem clients.
Yeah.
The people that come in, it's very hard. Like, even though they know, they listen to, because they only join this podcast because, you know, the program's a lot through the podcast and they know what you and I's view of the game is. So they see, it's like, that's probably a good way to think. Even those people that want to struggle.
Yeah.
So imagine trying people that don't even want to change their belief system.
And it's so painful for them as well, because if you were to be true, if this, you know, you're trying to tell your friend that his way of viewing the game was completely wrong. How many times do you even hear that? Oh yeah, you know, I was just wrong. Yeah, my whole approach, everything I've viewed about the game is, you know, it's you know, La La Land. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Unfortunately.
It is unfortunate.
But I wish you all the best, though, and I'll do everything I can to help you get there.
And dude, it's an awesome journey, dude.
And he's already shown results. Like you said, he's never got to gold before. He got to gold. I mean, you're on the upward trajectory. Now it's about get those reps in, stick with it. You do you. And from the sounds of things, it sounds like one of those situations, Nathan, where you should just disengage. You take League seriously in your own time. You don't talk to League about these people. You do you. It's your hobby. And then that's it. And then they do their hobby. And then,
yeah,
that's it.
All right, moving on here. We've got Dennis. The title of this email is Having Legit Fun After a Perspective Change. Hello, Coach Curtis and Coach Nathan. I'm Dennis from Brazil and I main jungle. I finished season 13 plat 1 around 40 LP, starting bronze 2 after years of not playing League. This isn't really an email presenting doubts or questions about my gameplay. I just really wanted to thank you guys for changing my view on the game. I used to talk about how League was really easy and only dumb people couldn't climb. My peak was platinum during season 8. I didn't really use to tilt, but I kind of passed blame around before I quit League back in season 9. In late 2023, I got back into League because my GPU broke and my onboard GPU couldn't really handle other games, and I really wanted to play something during my free time. One day, looking for my drama fix, the video you guys did on Nice popped up on my YouTube recommended feed, and I saw it through. I was so uncomfortable listening to you guys talking about having a great relationship with the game. I wasn't siding with Nice, but I also had a hard time understanding the fact that League is a great game and focusing on getting better at it is even better, which is weird since I played a lot of FPS games at a high level and I used to be really into fighting games, which are basically getting into the details. Anyways, I got hooked onto the podcast and started binge watching it. I was confused about reviews and feared getting stuck and focusing on the wrong things. But the more I watched, the more you guys outlined how to review stuff. I started experimenting reviewing during my 3 block. after before, and it's been so fulfilling to go through this journey. During the end of the season, I played fewer games because of the holidays, and I started to fear hitting a wall. So when I got back, there was a little bit of anxiety. I felt like I was losing the plot. I got through gold and the first three plat divisions so fast that I didn't really have time to level up my fundamentals and polish up those basic skills like jungle tracking, pathing, and ganking to the higher level I was playing. My mechanics felt shit. I'm a Lee Sin main. I absolutely love the character and have been playing him since season 4. I couldn't focus with all that fear. My friends were hyping up. My friends were hyping up my comeback. I was open about improving and stuff, and I feared losing my elo slash gains. But you guys always say, accept your level of play. I went back to the basics. I polished up my clears in training mode. I forced myself to check lane states more often. I quit making the same jungle route every game. Red Raptors, Red, Krugs, Gank, or Invade. I started matching junglers, started being more aware of their resets and camps, started making better recalls and sat on training mode, pushing buttons and making more precise mouse movements, and I couldn't feel more happy or fulfilled. Thank you guys so much for making me fall in love with this game again and making me enjoy so much this chess on steroids that is League. I hope I can reach Diamond this season. Definitely going to join Soul 2 as soon as I get a few games in on Season 14. What I love about this email, Curtis, is he could specifically outline and list the skills that he worked on and things that he improved on, the narratives that he used to have, or things that were flaws in his gameplay, overcomplicating the game, doing the same thing every time, being adaptable. I feel like that being a good League player, understand how to improve, is you being able to list that exactly. Why am I winning and losing games? If you can't do that in like a succinct way, like a specific way, not a the macro example, because NASA split push this game. Like, what exactly? We'll tickle the fundamentals. What did I do well? What didn't I do well?
100%. I love that. I think, and you know, the thing that jumped out to me in that email was the start where he said, I stumbled across you guys after the knees video. And he said, even though I wasn't four knees, it was still very difficult for me to...
It's uncomfortable. You come across our podcast.
Because that's what happens. Yeah. I feel like when you, you stumble across this.
You're just like, what the fuck is this?
I've never viewed the game this way. And it's uncomfortable. It's confronting. It's like, holy shit. So I thought, I loved how honest he was with how he actually came about the podcast. Because I think that that's real, right? It's no, you're not going to go from zero to 100. He had to... You know, actually trying to reconcile what the hell was going on. But yeah, amazing story. Got into the details. And I love it. And it sounds like to me, he's making a good example for his friends as well. Awesome stuff.
All right. Next up here, we have one from Greedy Nils. The title of this email is Negative Narratives and Climbing to Masters. I was reading a tweet from Dragdar, the Ezreal OTP, about how if you're top 18,000 out of 3.5 million in literally anything in the world, the response you might get is, yo, that's really impressive, man, congrats. But in League, you're a pisser, dog shit, ape low master.
Yeah.
Dragdar points out to someone that it's not just high elo players saying this. The narrative goes in a circle from streamers, high elo to friends, and against people in game spreading, even to low elo. Now, not everyone believes this, of course. Some might believe Diamond is a god tier rank, as did I when I was gold. But someone did reply with this screenshot. I'll put it up on the screen. This tweet alone worries me. I'd experienced something similar from a lower elo friend who just thought I'd been boosted because he couldn't climb. What happened to the good old good for you? So the actual tweet itself was, my cousin is gold and I duoed with him during the summer to Emerald, and the entire time I'm trying to teach him, he called me hard stuck diamond doggy, and that he knows better than me, but his role is harder, which is why he can't climb solo. The L9 effect is real. And then he goes on to say, it's just crazy, this conversation. Okay, I have average IQ. I will try to reach D4, not even master. I'm hard stuck Emerald 3 now. Moving on to his points here. The problem is rather obvious, but something really tickled my brain, and that is what Malice responded with. I know he's a high-ranked streamer, and he has Coach in his Twitter bio. He responded with, possibly because how easy fast it is compared to other achievements, i.e. referring to why people think Master is a bad rank. He goes on to say how hard it is to become a doctor or professional footballer, and mentions this last bit of text that I dislike, saying, Master takes a few months or less for a lot of people. It feels rather demeaning. Perhaps it's just my ego, but I remember when I was plat and someone like TF Blade or Tyler One, whom I looked up to as challenger players, called Diamond the worst hell imaginable, I felt rather useless. The difference is I couldn't say it was my teammates' fault because I had just watched TF Blade 90% win rate to challenger. It's humbling. Whereas if I was plat now and if I'd read that Malice tweet, said I would even feel worse. I was hard stuck plat 2 for 2 years. So I responded to him that it takes a lot of people years to even get diamond, and that's why someone like Nice called it winning league. It's a few messages, but the mail is already so long. I mentioned that here's da 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 da. This is dumb, and I know you've talked about this before. You shouldn't feel ashamed to climb slower than someone else, but it's the general consensus vibe that worries me from the community. All my friends who've reached Diamond took 2 to 4 years to reach it, including me, who started Season 9 with little prior knowledge from Season 3 to reaching Diamond and Masters in Season 12. So we've spent all this time slowly improving to get rewarded with this immense toxicity that follows it. Thereby comes my question to you, who you've coached a lot of people. Is there any validity, there you go, Curtis, in this that Masters isn't as hard as you'd be led to believe? Is this just my ego haunting me? Is there no light at the end of the tunnel for the LoL community? Every game in Masters, I'm being called this or that. There's just no positivity anywhere and just a bunch of negative narratives making me feel stupid for caring. The only positive thing I get out of League these days is that I enjoy playing Hawaii.
So I've actually started to see this inside the, with a lot of fitness content creators, right?
Mm.
And so basically what you've got in the fitness industry is like, you know, for people that have a great, a great physique now is so different to what a great physique used to be. And for people who do have a great physique, there's all these people online saying, oh yeah, they probably take steroids or whatever.
Not natural.
You know what I mean? But there's so much hard work that goes in to get like that physique. They just completely discredit everything that they've done just because like, oh yeah, they're probably on steroids or some shit. And my point being, the point that I'm trying to make is that I feel like, you know, it's so easy for people that like, you know, that I guess insecure or not there yet to like discredit other people's achievements. That, you know what I mean? Like, it's so easy just to find some convenience. Like, you'll, in a way, if you're like a platinum player as well, like, you know, I think that one of those examples is like, oh yeah, you're just a hard like diamond player or whatever. You know, I think that there's, I mean, A, they're just regurgitating any bullshit that they've just heard it's elsewhere, right? So they're just, you know, regurgitating just cliches and things that they don't even really understand. They never even thought about it, right? They've just heard some content creator that they follow, some influencer, and they're just going to regurgitate it. It's that. But I think there's also, again, it feels good to discredit other people's achievements. Like, again, hate never comes from above. It comes from below, right? So I think there's that. I think the second thing is that the people that are Hyelo saying this shit, again, we've made this very clear. They simply don't know what they don't know. And it's mind-boggling.
Well, they don't know what they know, how much they know.
Yeah, sorry. They don't know what they know.
Yeah.
You know, they've played the game so much.
It's not just playing the game, Curtis. A lot of people, you and I, we'll be training for being a high Elo League player. You was training when you were okay. 6 years old on Counter-Strike.
I want to, because I think people don't get this in League. We need to use other examples. Let's say you are a high level athlete. Okay, Let's say you're a really high level. Let's take a good like holistic athletic sport. Let's maybe take a high level swimmer or something, right? Like you've got a great athletic physique. You're strong. You're fit. And you've been swimming since a young age. You maybe did competitive swimming, right? Since you're like 4 or 5, you started swimming since a super young age, and then you moved into like basketball when you were like, you know, 15, but you're already tall as fuck. You're muscular, you're fit as hell. And you know, and you go into basketball.
You've already like tried to improve or something, or been around coaches and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you're competitive. You've ticked so many boxes. You've had basketball.
Schedule routine.
And like, then you train hard for like 2 years in basketball. You can get to such a high level way faster than anyone else just because like you're an athlete, dude. You've trained your whole fucking life. Mm. Like, you know, and this is what the equivalent of people have. Like, I don't know what Malice's background is, but like, let's say he probably played WoW or another game.
He played other games at high levels.
Right, he played other games at high levels. And then it's like, okay, well, you've played probably video games since you're like 8 years old. And then you played those video games for years and years at a high level. You're already competitive. You're already, you know, in that competitive mindset. And then you played League and you played thousands of games over years and years and years. And then, yeah, no shit. Everything looks easy for you, again, because of your background. And so I think that's where the way we got to reconcile it. It's like, you know, let's not even use sports. Let's use, because he was talking about doctors and shit. Okay, let's say you were a, you know, someone who studied, you did a degree and you'd already been like killing it at school. You were a very academic person and you knew how to study, you knew how to learn and you got a degree. For you to go back and do it or to get your master's or a PhD might not be as hard for you as one really academic person, or going back to uni to do an MBA or something. It might not be that hard for one person, but if someone who's never been to university before, and this is they maybe came in as a mature age student, they've never been to college before, that might be really hard for them to actually study and learn how to, you know, learn shit and be academic. So again, it depends. I mean,
just look at the numbers, Curtis. You look at the number of doctors, getting Challenger and Grandmaster is way harder.
Way harder.
Look at the numbers. Talking about the top, you know, you got how many people on the NA? Like 1.5 million? Challenger's top 300.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's way harder to be a Challenger player.
And the same Challenger player is always there.
And you would look at the time you put in. The time you put in to become a Challenger player for the average is way more than it would be to study to become a doctor.
Mm.
Straight up. Because you got to account for the average Challenger player. You don't just take that time into account with League. You take in everything.
That's right.
Everything.
Even going into the pro level of League, the numbers, just of how little spots there are nowadays. It's harder. It's literally easier to get into the NBA or the NFL than become a professional League player right now. In North America, Europe, maybe, even then, it's probably about the same. As a soccer player or something like that.
And oh, look, we're not here to say that League's, like, you know, it is... objectively, like, what's the hardest sport or whatever. That's not what the point is about. My point being is that, again, these people that spread this, you know, toxic narratives, they have no fucking clue.
They're disconnected.
They have no fucking clue. They're delusional. They don't have any idea. And the scariest thing is that they say these things with so much
conviction.
Yeah. As if you're an idiot to be wrong. And this is one of the things that you know, there's certain content creators and coaches out there and just high-level players that I cannot stand because of their lack of curiosity and lack of open-mindedness. You can have your strong opinions, but it's the way they say things so certain, and they just forget. They're unaware of all the people that are there, young people, just listening to every word that they say, and it's just fucked up.
Well, look at that one there. You know, it's like these tweets would be so ridiculous to read in any other context or any other sport. The fact that we're sane... He has to write an email about this and saying this has affected him.
It's so ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It is so ridiculous.
I mean, right now, we're just in really early days of League. The current role models, the people that are high elo, again, people just have massive disrespect for gaming in general.
In 20 years, you know how embarrassing this shit will be?
Yeah.
It would just be so embarrassing to even talk like that. In 20 years from now, League, it would just be a different situation, a completely different situation.
Going back to our room, that episode with Faker talking about how he viewed process and not focus on wins and losses and all that sort of stuff. That's awesome to see. That's what we're going to sort of start seeing more of.
Yeah, it's slowly changing, very slowly changing. But yeah, these people are just delusional. They don't know what they're talking about, and they're having a huge negative effect on the community.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I just think it's just a young community. We're in early days.
Yeah,
it's just going to happen. We're doing our best with the podcast. Our students, they enjoy the game way more when they don't talk like this or think about that or put themselves down because it's like, oh, well, it takes me years to get master. It's like, yep, it's pretty hard to do, especially if you don't have a competitive gaming background.
Yep, the expectation if you're new to League and you don't have a great gaming background, it's going to take years and years. It's going to take many years. This is it.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode today, guys. Any last comments, Curse? Any errands we need to run?
No, that's about it. Get those games in. Get the process back sorted. You got it out of your system if you've been spamming games, and get back to work.
We'll see you guys next week.